Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
I want us to consider for a subject, making your home or making your marriage work. Making your home or making your marriage work. Once again, Holy Spirit, we ask that you will settle over this house and speak to us in Jesus' name. All right. When we say something is working, it means it is performing its intended function. Hallelujah. When we say something is working, what do we mean? It is performing what? Its intended function. It is in a state of active operation. Something can be alive but not working. Amen. Praise God. Something can be living, but it is not working. So just because people are living in the same house does not mean that they are married or that the marriage is working. Hallelujah. And there are a lot of people who are living together, but the marriage itself has died a long time ago. Hallelujah. And they can carry on. They can play the part. You know, after a while, you get used to the part. Is that okay? If the man is the provider, he's providing. Is that okay? If the woman manages the home, she's managing the home. But the relationship has died. Praise God. And sometimes when they are, in quote, serious Christians, it makes it more difficult. Because they don't want to be seen not to be living the life. Is that okay? So they are together, but the relationship or the marriage is dead. It is not in active operation. Praise God. So I want to say this, because like I said, I'm talking on marriage and relationship. So I will talk about relationship, I'll talk about marriage itself. Just pick the one that concerns you. Hallelujah. Now, a good marriage begins by making the right choice. A good marriage does not begin when you come to the house. A good marriage begins by making the right choice. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A good marriage is sometimes like a good team. Is that right? Those of you who watch soccer. Is that okay? If you don't have a good team, if you don't go into the game with a good team, prayer will not help you when the game starts. Are we together? Please, are we together? When you don't make the right choice before you get into the game, when you get into the game, prayer will not help you. If you don't prepare, if you don't do your trainings and all of that, is that okay? You don't study the people you are going to play against. When you get into the game, prayer and fasting will not help you at that time. So a good marriage begins before the game takes off. That's why the Bible says that if the foundation be destroyed, it does not say what shall people do. It doesn't even say what will unbelievers do. It says what shall the righteous, which means if the foundation is bad, even the righteous will struggle. If the foundation is bad, even the righteous will have issues. And it is the reason why even the righteous have problems. Because the problem is foundational. And the problem begins by the choices that are being made. At the point of making choice, that's where the problem begins. Hallelujah. Are we together? Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 4. Matthew 19, 3 to 4. And then we'll go down. And I'll show you something as we go. Matthew 19, 3 to 4. And then verse 8. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read? My concern is not the other one. My concern is, have ye not read? In other words, you are supposed to study this thing. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? How many of you have gotten a degree in something you didn't study? How many of you, did they give you certificate in something you didn't study? But I hope you know that they give you certificate in marriage before you start the school. Now, in other words, listen to me. You have a responsibility, are you hearing what I'm saying? To study the institution of marriage before you enter into it. When they ask the question, Jesus did not respond quickly. The first response is, have you not read? You know, there's this idea that we know what to do. Am I talking to anybody here? How many of you notice that when people go into marriage, we go into it with this idea like, well, no, how about now? You know, the one that used to offend me. Love conquers all. I don't know where people got those ideas. Love God. If you you hear people, if you love him and she loves you, these bros. Amen. There is a preparation that is required. Are you hearing me? There is psychological, emotional, intellectual preparation that you must do. Spiritual preparation that you must do before you enter into marriage. If you don't do that preparation and you meet Jesus, the first question he will ask you, have you not read? Have you not studied on this thing? Have you not prepared for it? Many people don't prepare for anything. They don't prepare spiritually. That's the one that used to bother me. How do you see a lady in this service and plan to talk to her after the service? You don't know whether she be mami or tao. You don't know you don't know. You just saw her in the service. You go and stand by the gate. Have you not read? How prepared are you? And this preparation, let me tell. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. If you have the Message translation, one of my favorite Bible verses. If you have Message, please. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. So, and let me just read the King James. It says, and this, thank you very much. So, this is my prayer. So, this is a prayer point. Paul was praying for the Philippian church. This is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but you will love. So, which means you can love, but not well. That means that you can love, but your love does not have quality. Your love may have quantity. You love a lot. It has flourished, but it does not love well. It says, learn to love what? Tell your neighbor, appropriately. There are some of you, you are not loving appropriately. The thing you call love is not love, it's foolishness. Now, I've said certain things, and let me give you an example of foolish love. You are seeing a sister. You are just coming up. Your salary is 100,000. But you want to prove to the sister that you love her. You are paying her rent, 350,000. You are buying her wig. What is uh-uh? Give me some. Let me slap this. Okay. Say uh-uh again. Let me hear you. You are saying it again. You are saying it again. You are saying it again. That's the kind of pastor you have. You are paying her rent, 350,000. You are buying her wig, 300. Oh, 1.4. There's something like that. Now, what I'm telling you, please hear me. What I'm telling you is not fiction. What I'm telling you was what me and my pastor talked about one of our sons. The reason why I say it's our sons. Me and him shared the fatherhood over that boy. The boy used to stay with me. Then when their church started in Jos, my pastor requested that the boy move over. So my pastor brought the report to me. So when your pastor is reporting something to you, you know the problem is bad. You are paying. In fact, the lady is on allowance. Weekly allowance, not monthly. Weekly allowance. Brother, you are loving much, but you are loving foolishly. How many married women do I have in the house? You are married. You are a married woman. Let me see your hand. Not married man. Calm down. How many married women do I have? You are married. You are a woman. You are married. Let me see your hand. I want to. How many of you, your husband gives you weekly allowance? Raise your hand. No, it's possible. It's possible. There may be, as God blesses him, it's good. It's possible. My point is that even the married women don't have weekly allowance. Then this one, the thing is in pencil. You have weekly allowance. Brother, you are foolish. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Because there are three mistakes you are making. Number one, you are giving that lady hope that you will not sustain. Let's tell ourselves the truth. You are giving her hope. And you know, one of the challenges of women is that anything you start with a woman, you better have the capacity to sustain it. Anything you start with a woman, are you hearing what I'm saying? For the peace of this country, don't add some problem to banditry and other things we are facing. If you anything you start with a woman, you must sustain it. If you are a young married man, hear what I'm saying. If you know you will not sustain it, don't start it. Women get disappointed very easily. And a woman's disappointment is not good. Because, you see these girls, there's a lot of fantasy in their head. And if you feed into that fantasy, you must make it happen. So the Bible says that you should love what? Appropriately. You need to use what? If there's a young man behind you, beside you, say, tell him, use your head. Say, use your head. Are you here? Use your head and what? That is that when you are feeling being in love, let your head taste that feeling that you're having. Because your feelings can take you to where it cannot sustain you. You will make promises you will know you will never be able to keep. Are we together, church? I wish I could help the sisters by saying that when the man is making promise, just believe it by faith. If it doesn't turn out like that, just know that he was just in love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When a man is in love with a woman, his greatest weakness is that he will say things he doesn't mean. Hey! Did anybody hear what I said? When a man is in love with you, he will say things that he may have good intentions, but he has not done the maths. When he's telling you, he hasn't done the maths. Are we together? I will buy the ocean for you. I will. I swear by the. The man has become an idol worshiper. You see, you don't get it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Men will say things that they didn't mean. Are we together, church? So, a good marriage begins from when you are planning it. Are you hearing me? If you get the foundation right. So Jesus said to them, have you not read? Is that okay? Have you prepared? Let me say this. Please, don't let anyone pressure you into marriage. I'm not talking to the ladies now. I'm talking to the men. You know, all these people who will say, you are not still married. You are not married. All those people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And before you know anything, you want to prove a point. Somebody said, don't get, see, listen to me. When you marry, you'll be alone inside that household. And I've told you, the problem with a bad marriage, what is the problem with a bad marriage? You sleep with it, and you wake up with it. It's looking at you. It's looking at you morning, night, and day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So, you begin by preparing well. Praise God. So, when we say a marriage is working, there are three components that make a marriage work. Three components. The first component is the purpose component. Please listen to me. The first component is what? The purpose component. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4. Media, move with me as fast as you can. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4. From verse 4, so we're going further. This is the story. Give me my King James. Okay. These are the generations of the heavens. Of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Yes, verse 4. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, because there was not a man to till the ground. Please, I want you to see that. That is that God created everything on the earth, but God did not allow rain to fall. God watered the earth by mist. Is that okay? And the scripture tells us why. Because there was not a man. In other words, until God finds a man to do certain things, God will not start it. So, the reason why there was no rain was because there was no man to till the earth. In other words, if I cause rain to fall, these things are going to grow to a level that will require somebody to work on it. Is that okay? And I don't have somebody to work on it, so we will not make it happen like that. Verse 18. Let's go to verse 18. Let me show you. Verse 18. And the Lord said, is it verse 18 I want us to go to? Verse 18, yes. Verse 15, sorry, not verse 18. Verse 15. We'll read 15 to 24. 15. Give me 15. And the Lord God took the man. Now, look at God solving. God has a problem. Let's use that language. Is that okay? God has a problem. Is that okay? He has planted a garden. There is no man to till the garden. And so, God did not allow rain to fall. For that garden to prosper, a man is needed to till it. Are we together? Until there is a man, God will not allow that garden to prosper like it's supposed to prosper. So God limits the capacity of that garden. Is that okay? Now, when God sees that, God looks at it and God knows that something needs to be done about the situation. And the Lord God took the man. So God created a man. Is that how you getting me? But even when he created the man was not in the garden. Oh, are you here? Are you following what I'm saying? He created a man, but he did not put the man in the garden originally. There was a point, and the Lord took the man and put him where? Into the garden of Eden. Why? To dress it and to keep it. Listen to me. The call and the purpose of God is closely linked to your creation as a man. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? The creation of man was to answer a question, was to respond to a situation. And the Lord took the man and put into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Next verse, we're in 25. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Who introduced the concept? Now, when the Bible said it's not good for a man to be alone, you know what we have always thought? We've always thought that when God said it's not good for a man to be alone, the idea was because the man wanted company. But did the man really want company? No, don't be. Did he really need company? There was no point in scripture that the man complained to God and said, I'm alone. There was no point. Go and check. There was no point. In fact, the Bible says the man named all the animals. There was no point that the man said to God, oh, I'm lonely. Oh, I'm just all by myself. I don't have somebody to talk to. Listen to me. If you even look at the way men are, when a man has a problem, he wants to keep quiet. He wants you to give him space. Well, it's a woman that when she has problems, she wants to talk. When a man has problem, he wants quietness. A man solves his problem by thinking through it. But I want you to see something here. And God said, I will make him an help meet for him. Please, he didn't say, I will make a help meet. You know, we changed the language. What we have always said was that God said, I will make him a help meet. God didn't say, I will help me. Help meet. God said, I will help, I will give him a help that is what? Meet. That is a help that is suitable, that is fit for him. What did he need to get somebody that was suitable for him? He needed help in the assignment that God gave him to dress the garden and to keep it. Are you hearing me? That means that this woman came not in response to a personal need that the man had. She came in a response to a divine assignment that God gave the man. You know where marriage begins to have problem? When the man does not have a purpose. Because the assignment of a woman is to help the purpose in your life. When a woman shows up in the life of a man that does not have direction, The reason why your wife is struggling with gossip, she doesn't have anything to do. There's nothing in your life that is occupying her. She talks here, she goes here, she talks here. By the time you have discovered your assignment and you put, are you hearing what I'm saying? And you arrange her life in that assignment that you have been called to, she doesn't have time for certain things. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Yes, next verse, we're in 25. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. Let's move fast, media. Let's move as fast. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help. What did you notice that every time God talked about the help, it was related to a work that God gave Adam? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Next verse. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took out of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Listen to me. The purpose of God, listen to me. If you are going to have a marriage that works, the first thing you must establish is that within the overall purpose of God, why is God establishing this home? What is it that you people are coming together to do to bring glory to the kingdom of God? Because you know what? I've been a young man. I've been a younger man. I'm still a young man, but I've been a younger man. And listen to me. Many brothers, that's why I see, you must be discipled. You must be culturated. You know, do you know in our society, there are times that a man is misbehaving. What do the family say? Especially, I know at least in the north. In the north, that's Mrs. Father, I must have a boy that is not mature, has not grown up at home, is misbehaving. The response is, let's get him a wife. If they get him a wife, he will stabilize. Go and check everyone that was misbehaving that they got him a wife. He only made the life of that woman hell. When any man approach you and say, I want to marry him, ask him, what are we going to be doing in this marriage? Are you hearing me? Sex alone is not a good reason to marry. And many young men are getting married, especially the ones that are brothers in church, because they don't want to be sleeping around. They decide, let's marry so that we can have somebody to be sleeping with. So you come into a person's house thinking you people can build a life and a destiny, and the only thing that matters to that person is sex. That is why he has sex with you like machine. That's why he can come. You can fight during the day. He will just tap you in the night. Hello, Yade. He can have the sex and continue being angry with you as he was angry with you before the sex started. Why? Because that was the reason you were brought in. You were. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? And many times, you will hear, are you hearing what I'm saying? You will hear people say, if you are feeling like that, get married now. You have not been able to control yourself. That marriage will not help you to control yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A man that has not established purpose is unqualified to marry. A woman that has not discovered God's assignment for her. That is why people labor to be educated, but they don't labor in the things that really matter. You can be educated and purposeless. You don't have direction. And you see, these foundational issues are the issues that wake up inside marriage. After 3 years, you have had enough sex. You have done everything that you can do. Now you really want to begin to face life. E.g., you say, I want to go to school. You say, which school? Am I talking to anybody here? You now wake up and say, I want to go to school. Because he married you for sex. You got into the marriage, no plan, no idea, no purpose. You're just looking out for something that looks like a man and you run for it. Because I have always wondered, why do women like marriage? The married one likes marriage. The single one, have you noticed what happens when women hear marriage? Their body begins to shake like this. You know why? Because marriage offers a sense of security. Marriage means security. A woman's greatest need is security. Marriage is that symbol of security. But listen to me. It is when you have no purpose, that thing is not security. It's an illusion. You will enter into it. We will get somewhere. I will show you something. You know, I have been hearing, I've been hearing some things. There are two ministers that I respect a lot when it comes to Bible teaching. Pastor Poju Emade and Apostle Selman. And let me tell you why I respect them. Pastor Poju will say to you that just because cars kill people does not mean you will not drive. That means that there are certain truths, are you hearing me, that many times are not taught because people avoid to teach it because of it has a side that can have negative effect. But let me tell you something. Just because cars are killing people does not mean you will not drive. Listen to me. I've had ministers say marriage is a contract. Marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. Marriage is a contract, sir. Marriage is a contract. Marriage is a... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing? When you saw the woman you wanted to marry, were there qualities in her that you liked? Did you not see another lady that you didn't like something about her? When you decided to marry, did you agree on some things? What is that agreement you are having? How many times have there been problem in marriage? And the man will say to you, or the woman will say to you, this was what we agreed, but this is what is... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now listen to me. Marriage is a covenant, true. But marriage is also a contract, is a partnership. And whenever we come to the partnership or the contractual part of marriage, it means that there must be something you are delivering. Let me tell you something. You know this thing they call respect. Love and respect, right? Let me tell you. There is a part of love and respect that is covenant. There is part that is contractual. Let me explain. If a guy does not have much, is that right? You can marry him. You can marry him, yes. If he doesn't have much, you can marry him. Are you getting my point? But listen to me. When responsibilities begin to come, are you getting me? No matter how spiritual you are, you will expect that man to rise up to the responsibilities. Is it not so? Is it not so, church? Now, do you know that when he does not rise up to the responsibilities, that initial respect you used to give him, the respect begins to go down. So there is a part of the respect that is covenant. There is a part of the respect that is contractual. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That you are rising up and proving, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm proving yourself. Now, because people don't want people to not become careless and say, okay, my husband is not doing, or my wife is not doing this, they now say marriage is covenant. Marriage is covenant. Marriage is covenant. It's true. But this man is beating this girl. He's maltreating this woman. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's not providing for the house. How do you expect to keep that contract? I'm even going to teach you something before this program is over. Many times, many of the men that complain that is because they don't have. That's why their wife is doing this and that. Actually, it's more about how you treat your lack. How you treat her in the lack that makes her behave in a certain way. You don't have, we agree. You are trying to have, we agree. But you will sleep. You will sleep from morning. You will sleep overnight. You wake up by 10 o'clock. The woman will wake up. You don't have, we agree, oh, you don't have work. You will wake up by 10 o'clock. You will wake up by 11 o'clock. They are fixing children to school. You will not fix. You will not take the children to school. You will not help to clean the house. If you don't have outside, can you not do something inside?
So that the woman can have some respect for you. You don't have outside to bring, but at least you are doing something in the house.
You are in trouble this month. Is anybody hearing? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying?
So that if she looks at you and knows that nothing will come this month, at least she knows that you have helped by taking the children to school. You are going there to bring. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You go around. There are men. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking to you. There are men that can spend 3 months, 4 months. They've not gone around their house. They don't know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will go into a house. The ceiling is falling. The door is bad. There are men that don't know what their children are taking to school.
So marriage is a contract, is a covenant, but it is also a contract. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Contract meaning that in marriage, there are roles, there are obligations, there are responsibilities. A man that does not understand purpose cannot understand this. So it begins by what is the purpose of God first for marriage? The purpose of God for marriage is that people, listen to me, the family is the smallest unit of kingdom. Sorry, is the second smallest unit of kingdom. Listen to me, that it is in family we begin to exercise kingdom. There's something I want to teach, but I will not be able to teach it now. Because people have also misused that scripture. When they say, if a man cannot be able to take care of his own house, how can he take care of the house of God? People don't understand the full meaning of that. So they use it to say that the family is bigger than the kingdom. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying that God gave you family. So that you, thank you very much. So that if you manage family well, it's a pointer to us that if we put kingdom in your hand, you will also manage kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's just like saying, he who is faithful in that which is small will also be faithful in that which is great. Which means that if you give somebody family and he can't manage it, don't give him kingdom. And because people don't understand the purpose of God, it begins here. Marriage has been abused because people don't understand kingdom. They don't understand purpose. So if you want to marry, what's the first question? The first question is not where are you working. It's a wrong question. It's a wrong question. Somebody can work in a good place today and lose it tomorrow. It's a wrong question. The right question is where are you going? What, where is your life going to? What is the divine assignment that God has called your life to fulfill? And let me round up with this. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. Let me round up today with this. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Next verse. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life everlasting. Please listen to me. Money is not a purpose. Please, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Money is not a purpose. I didn't say money is not important. I said money is not a purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you. What keeps the life of a man disciplined is his purpose. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me talk to people who... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Money is not a purpose. Don't look for a man that has money. Look for a man that has purpose first before money. The man that... Let me tell you what money does. Money amplifies who you are. If a man does not have purpose, money will amplify him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now listen, many people enter into marriage for their own personal enjoyment.
Many women marry men. They are your meal ticket. When you want to break up with a girl and she's crying, she's not crying because you are taking her somewhere. She's crying because her meal ticket. And this happened to me, life. It happened to me. It happened to me. Somebody, we were with a brother somewhere, and the brother slumped. He slumped. We took him to the hospital. We rushed him to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, they were checking him and other things. They now said, which hospital hospital he comes to? They said, yes. They said, where is his hospital number? We didn't want to tell the wife that he has slumped. I wanted, when he was revived, then the woman comes, because I didn't want to. So at that point, we had to tell the wife that he was unconscious. So I sent somebody, go bring the wife. I didn't want to tell her why she was. I sent somebody, go bring the wife. Get her the hospital number and everything. When the woman came, she walked into the accident and emergency and saw the man unconscious. Let me tell you, I tell you the truth. The first thing the woman said, my children's school fees. My children. The first thing the woman said, my children. See, let me tell you, I don't mean to cause trouble, but many of you, you are meal ticket. If you don't say, are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't know, if you don't settle purpose, if you don't settle direction for your life, you will pick anything on the road. He that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many people are coming to marriage, and in their mind, we are coming to just enjoy ourselves. Enjoyment is not a purpose of God. That is why the moment there is any... See, listen to me. Let me help you understand something. Every marriage will have crisis. My wife is here. The time we almost broke up was on the issue of purpose. I was in law school. I called her. I said, I have finally understood that God has called me to ministry. I am from here. After service, I'm going to ministry straight. And I told her, I said, and I was going to serve him under my church. And that time, this is Reverend Dan's daughter, by the way. This is Reverend Dan's daughter, one of his... Are you seven? The daughter's six or seven? No, I know you are second. I mean, you girls are how many? You are five girls. That time, her father was getting married to her mother. So they had given him leave. So everybody was telling me, if you come, they'll just send you to go and take over from Reverend Dan. They'll send you to go and take over from Reverend Dan. So I told her, as I report, they may send me to Bew. And because it's God's purpose for my life, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm ready to answer it. She said, no. She was born in Maiduguri, brought up in Maiduguri. She will die in Maiduguri. I said, fine. That day, we did back and forth for 2 weeks. No progress. I have the copy of the mail. I sent the mail to my pastor. I said, sir, the marriage is off. And the basis of the marriage being off is that my purpose does not align with her values. Do you know, my pastor never asked me a question one day. Say, why? He just took the letter, filed it, put the marriage plans on KIV. Why are you fighting in preparation for your marriage? You are fighting because they didn't do wedding gown for you. Those are the things you are fighting about. These are the things you have. People are fighting for what God is going to do with their future. You are fighting on wedding gown you are fighting about. That is the reason. Listen to me. He that sows to his flesh will of the flesh of a necessity, he will reap corruption. That's why nothing great is birthed. There is nothing Nothing great is birthed. Because there is in the plan on in the are you hearing what I'm saying? In as you are, you never the purposes of God for you was not critical. You are just old enough to marry. You want to marry. You have grown old. You've noticed that you have developed breasts. You are now an adult. You need to marry. He too has grown up. He now has beard. He needs to marry. That's all. Then people will be telling you, I have a yakamata kaorians. When a young man tells you, I want to marry, tell him why. He should tell you why. Has he found the garden that God has put him to tend it and to keep it? You know how we decide when somebody is ready to marry? He has finished school. He has a job. If God, he now even has a car. Even have a car. It's as though marriage is part of the accolades, part of the thing, the rank they add for you. That is why you hear people say funny things. All my friends are married. And so, you want to go and destroy somebody's life because all your friends are married. You not learn to manage anything. Do you know by divine order, women are managers? That's why I'm always wondering. Let me say, there are exceptions. So there are some exceptions. There are some women that are not managers at all. I will talk about it. Because the next one I will talk about is agreement. And in agreement, we are going to talk about things to agree about. One of them is money. Now, every woman is not a manager. But the majority of women are managers, naturally. Part of the reason why your house is not going well is that you are the one to manage everything. You see a man, he goes to the market. Give your wife money to go to the market. No, you are the one that must go to the market. You go to the market, men are buying shoes, are buying suits. Then you see your friend buying Maggi. No, I need Maggi. Karegi. And you are wondering why he's not working. Can I even tell you something? There are some things for the peace of your home, you overlook it. Don't be counting Maggi in your house. When people are praying 1 a.m., a man wakes up, he's counting the Maggi inside the jar. Then the woman tells you, Maggi has finished. She said, what do you mean by Maggi? There were 57 cubes of Maggi in that 57. I counted it. The woman is shocked. When did you count it? At night, when people are sleeping, you are counting Maggi. Your mates are praying in tongues. You are counting Maggi. Rise up to your feet this morning. May God even bless you. Because sometimes the problem is that you need to be blessed. I know I have friends that their father buys Milo and milk and keeps it in his room. In his room. Every morning they want to take tea in the house. They must go to his room and fetch it in his presence. How many people are you? You are taking 5 people, 5 spoons. Take 5 spoons. That spoon is too much. Reduce it. Misplacement of purpose. Misplacement of purpose. Now, I don't even know which prayer point to give you people to pray about. I don't know which one that you're going to pray about. I don't know. as I'm telling you that, there are women that cannot manage anything. Read the Proverbs 31 woman. The Bible says the man has no need for loss. He will not lose anything. If he puts something in your hand, he can go and sleep. Many women are stealing, thieves. You give them 50,000 for house for housekeep. They use 30,000 for the housekeep. They buy wrapper, they buy shoe. Then on the 20th, they tell you everything has finished. How? You were the one that made the budget. You were the one that submitted the budget. You were the one that said they steal money meant for food. This month, we will look at this matter. Money, they are stealing from the money. Sapphiras. No Ananias, just Sapphira now. Just no Ananias, just Sapphira. See, I'm telling you the truth. Pray. One of my daughters is getting married. So these days, any mistake she does, I use it to teach her how to be a good wife. She's in trouble. If I tell her, make tea for me, and the tea is too salty, has too much sugar, I will tell her, this is how you'll be finishing your husband's money. You go and buy too much sugar. Anything she does, if she comes to my office, she's not dressed, I say, this is how you're going to be dressing. I say, she's in trouble in my hands. Marriage is good if you do it well.
Yes.
If marriage is working well, marriage is good. May your marriage work. May your marriage not fail. May your marriage not experience gallops, potholes that destroy the operations. May God stabilize everything that is out of place. Father, we thank you. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Let light come to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.